This is Fresh Air. Paquito de Rivera has become an international jazz star. He was born in Cuba in 1948. He loved jazz even as a child when he was studying clarinet and saxophone. But after the revolution, the government was very unenthusiastic about music that came from America. De Rivera defected to America in 1980 in order to play what he wanted with whom he wanted. Now his music reflects his love of jazz, classical, and Latin music. This is a Cuban dance from his recent album La Habana Rio Connection. He's featured on clarinet. Been recording a lot of Cuban dances. Did you play a lot of these dances when you were living in Cuba?
Actually, that first dancer that is recorded in my CD, the Havana Rio Connection, was one of the first pieces I ever played in my life. My father used to love that dance, and then that's why I recorded it. Yes, I played that a lot in my country, and I keep playing because I love it.
When you were in Cuba, did the government approve of these dances, or was this something they wanted you to play or wanted you not to play?
I will tell you something. If some of my friends in Cuba listen to me now, they will start laughing because they used to call me Paquito the American, Paquito the Gringo is there, because I used to play only American music, only jazz music. I listened, you know, I used to say that the best typical band in the world was Count Basie, and the best typical singer was Tony Bennett. You know, the best salsa singer was John Williams or something like that. That means that in there, that was forbidden. There was not a law forbidding playing jazz music, but the repression was so so strong that you know that was not welcome playing that type of music. So when I arrive in this country, I feel free to play whatever I want. And then I start playing some Latin American music. I also discover Latin America at the banks of the Hudson River.
Right, right. when you were in Cuba, what kind of music did the government most approve of? If they discouraged you from playing jazz, what did they want you to play?
Cuban music or some type of European music, or the preferably Russian music or whatever. Whatever that is not American. But in the meantime, they are so contradictory that they had a yearly jazz festival there. I know it's very contradictory, but that's the way it works, you know. That was the way Lenin invented this thing.
What was the nightlife like when you were living in Cuba and performing
beautiful
there?
Beautiful. I remember that there was a guy, he was the minister of something, of Russia. That was one of the first visitors from Russia that we have there, after Nikita Khrushchev, I believe. His name was Anastas Mikoyan. Anastas Mikoyan was a guy who visited there, Havana, around 1960 or 1961. I remember that my father was playing the saxophone in a beautiful American hotel by the name of the Hilton Hotel. Nothing to do with Hilton Ruiz at all. The Hilton Hotel. And in that name, in those times, he changed the name to Havana Libre, which means Free Havana Hotel. And then my father was playing there, and he was visiting there, the cabaret. And Anastas Mikoyan showed up with Che Guevara there. And then, you know what they say? The guy say, Anastas Mikoyan say to the conductor there, who was in that time a great piano player called Fernando Mulens. He say, you know what I recommended? Never let go down your beautiful nightlife. 3 years later, there was no more nightlife there. This man was so much in love with the nightlife of Havana. That was something very special. And they destroyed, like everything else.
You're saying Che said never?
No, Che Guevara, that man don't have any sense of humor at all. I am talking about Anastas Mikoyan. He recommend us to keep that beautiful nightlife forever. Because in Russia, you know, I don't know if you have been there. It's terrible, the nightlife there. That doesn't exist.
Saxophonist and clarinetist Paquito de Rivera is my guest. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Cuban-born jazz musician Paquito de Rivera. If musicians were discouraged from performing jazz, how did you get to hear so much jazz and fall in love with it?
Thanks to the radio. Mm-hmm. There is a gentleman that we love very much. We have a great appreciation of his work, not only in Cuba, but in all the communist countries in Europe. His name is Willis Canover from the Voice of America. He used to have, and he has still, after this, I think it's like almost 40 years, a program called the Jazz Hour of the Voice of United States of America. The Voice of America. And we used to listen to that program every day at 3 o'clock. That was the way we stay informed of what happened in the jazz world. In the country that jazz was permitted to play.
Your father was a classical musician, and he performed, I believe, in a symphony in Cuba. Was classical music considered the music of imperialists also?
No, not really. They have a very, very, they used to have a very fine symphony orchestra. Many musicians, many students, they had some type of scholarship to study in the Soviet Union. No, that was not part of their target.
But your father left Cuba with your mother in the 1960s. Why did they leave?
For the same reason 2 million Cubans left to Puerto Rico, Miami. The oppression was too much, and was not any way to be yourself. You have to be all the time waiting for them, expecting their orders. You know, if you offer an opinion there, they wait until Castro talks and Castro's speeches to say what they think. So my mother was always a very, very liberal person. We came from a poor family, you know, lower middle class, but my mother was always a free person. And then she said, well, there's no way I can live with this man giving orders all over the place. So they left in 1968.
Why didn't you leave with them?
Because I wasn't permitted. I was in what they call military age. How do you like that? They call it the military age is from 16 to 27. Then after 27 is when you have the right to present your document, your papers, and you claim your desire to leave the country. And that can last 5 years or 20. Like my friend, the bassoon player Alberto Romeo, he had to wait for 20 years for them to let him go out of the country.
I want to play something else from your recent album, forgive my pronunciation, La Habana Rio Connection. And this is Noche Cubana. Would you say something about it before we hear it?
Oh, that's another jewel of César Portillo de la Luz, Noche Cubana and Cuban Night. The arrangement is by another giant of the orchestration in my country. His name is Germán P. Ferrer. Noche Cubana, de César Portillo de la Luz.
Thank you.
my guest, Paquito de Rivera. When you were growing up in Cuba, you were a prodigy playing both clarinet and saxophone. Your father was a classical musician. Did he teach you?
Yes, my father was my first inspiration to be a musician. He used to be a classical saxophone player who loved jazz music too. From him, I learned this phrase of Duke Ellington that there is only two kinds of music, good and bad. And I learned so much from my father because when he didn't have enough knowledge, you know, in some certain type of matter, then he had so many good friends, which were great musicians, people like Felix Guerrero, Ernesto Lecuona, all those giants of Cuban music. And then I was able to use all those people as my teachers too. So my childhood was a happy one, surrounded by all I wanted to know about that was music, good music.
It was in 1980 that you defected to the United States. It was the end of a concert tour. You were in Spain. And
was the beginning of the concert tour.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was the beginning of the concert tour.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were in Madrid, I believe, and you sought asylum at the U.S. Embassy there.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do? Did you just show up there? Did they know you were coming?
No, that was a funny comedy drama because I escaped running. There was an electric stair that was, you know, coming up, and I got down to that stair, and I have 3-day visa, and I run in the taxi. Well, that was like something like a James Bond movie thing.
So were there were people following you when you were running?
No, that's what I thought. That's what I thought, because the paranoia, when you live in those countries, the paranoia put you in your mind that everybody's watching you. They can't watch 10 million people. But, you know, in your paranoia, you think that everybody's behind you. There was nobody behind me because nobody knew what we were going to do.
How do you think your playing has changed since you moved to New York?
Oh, so much. You know why? Because here you have the opportunity to meet people from all over the world. So for me, it's a pleasure to meet people from the Arab countries and from Puerto Rico and from Europe and from Africa and all that. So you learn so much from those people. And I was lucky enough that to be the musical director of the Dizzy Gillespie United Nations Orchestra. In that orchestra, we had people from all over the place. The Argentinians, the Brazilians, the Afro-Americans, the Jews, everybody, man. So that gives you the opportunity, if you are smart enough, to take advantage of that situation and learn for all of them so that enrich your playing a lot.
I want to close our interview with something from your forthcoming album, which will come out, we think, in mid-September.
Uh-huh.
This is the piece that opens the new album. It's a circusy kind of march. Would you say something about it?
Yeah, that was written by a very dear friend of mine who left Cuba many years ago. We used to play together in a theater called Teatro Musical de La Habana, the musical theater of Havana. And then in those days, I was 15 years old, and in those days, I received a telegram from the military service that I had to go there, to the service. And I was very sad, and that was terrible for me. And then this man has such a sense of humor, and then he composed this for me called Descarga, which is like a Cuban jam session for marching band and jazz combo.
Oh, I get it. Right.
Oh, man, that's funny, huh?
Because you were a jazz musician going into the military. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's great. It's really a fun piece, I have to say.
Yeah, I learned from there is the two musicians that I admire the most is Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart and Dizzy Gillespie. And both of them have so much seriousness and deepness in their art. And they have, in the other hand, they have so much sense of humor, both of them, that I think, I am sure that sense of humor and deepness in your playing have nothing against each other. You know what I'm talking about?
Right, there's no contradiction to
it's
do both.
It's no contradiction. So the sense of humor in my music is present, that the same way it was present in the music of Mozart and Dizzy. I am not trying to compare myself with those people.
No, I understand. A pleasure to talk with you. Paquito de Rivera, thank you very much for being with us.
Hope to see you soon. In Havana, maybe.
Ha ha ha! Paquito de Rivera's new record, 40 Years of Cuban Jam Sessions, will be released in September on Rounder Records. This is Fresh Air.